Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey everyone, so today I'm very happy to have Laura, a digestive health specialist, to come tell us more about IBS. Thank you, Laura, for coming on my podcast and welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting discussion because very fortunately, I myself don't suffer from IBS and I actually don't know anyone very close to me who does. So I thought it would be a really good opportunity to cover some basics and maybe educate our listeners a little bit more. But before we start, so I must ask you to share your journey with us into why you became a digestive health specialist.
Yes. So short story is your girl just couldn't poop. Long story is, so for my entire life, I can't even remember like pooping normally. And I just thought that was normal. Like I didn't realize just because it was common life, it just actually wasn't something that was normal. I also had like incredible amounts of depression and anxiety. My skin was super sensitive. And like these like little nudges my body was giving me over time until I went through some trauma. My mother unexpectedly passed away. I made poor life decisions after that, went on this whole path of, you know, self-destruction, ran away to Asia, did all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And then my health took a turn because of that, because it just, this whole stress response, my, what was already knocking at the door just came barging through. It was like, if you're not gonna listen to me, I'm going to throw you on the ground. And so that's essentially what happened. And I dove down this whole rabbit hole of, one, sitting in a cafe at the time I was teaching English with one of my friends. And I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I don't actually teach English. I'm just like here because it's a visa. She was like, well, you like food, like in a really unhealthy way. Because at this time I was so afraid of food because my body was just working against me. I couldn't, like, I was bloated all the time. I was like in the bathroom only once a week. Like, it was just, it was not fun. She was like, well, why don't you go study nutrition? And I was like, okay, let me do that. And so I went back, studied nutrition. And the more I knew, the more just confused I was because I was eating healthy, but I still felt horrible. I just looked, my body was just like, nope, not working. So then I went back and I got certified to become a digestive health specialist. And still, that's when like my unhealthy relationship with food started. And I was just like, okay, I eliminated 13 different foods. I had, you know, I was fasting. I was like keto. I was doing all this like fancy stuff, but my body still wouldn't work. And it wasn't until I sat down with my naturopath at like my last doctor's appointment, because I'd spent all my money trying to heal this. And she was like, do you want to talk about how your depression is linked to your IBS? And I was like, what? And so like my background in psychology and my foreground in nutrition, of course, I went off on like this whole studying, becoming my own self experiment, and understood that if I wanted to heal one, I had to heal the other, which was led me down this whole road of how do I do this without having to eliminate all my favorite foods. And that's what led me to the free method.
That's such a relatable story in a way, because from my own experiences, as well as talking to a lot of people, I think food elimination is always step one for some reason. Right. But having, you know, really gone into researching and studying nutrition myself, it becomes so apparent that it is such a holistic system in our body that, yes, what you put in your body is very important, but actually, you know, how your hormones are behaving, or your, you know, nerves firing the right messages, it's not really just about, okay, let's try to take out gluten because everybody now is apparently gluten-free. So when we talk about IBS then, let's start right from the top. What is IBS?
Yeah, so IBS is basically we don't know what's wrong with you. Like the proper diagnosis to get it done, I actually just did a training in my Facebook group on this, is that your GP is probably just going to say, like, here, you have irritable bowel syndrome, take some Miralax, cut out gluten, dairy, whatever have you, follow low FODMAP, move through that. But you don't actually want to do that. You want to get through and make sure it's nothing underlying. But 1 in 10 people have IBS. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's more common than we think. Just everyone's really poop shy and no one wants to talk about how they're not pooping, you know? And so I come right out and say it, but it is a functional gut brain disorder. And so it basically means this whole gut brain connection thing, your bowels aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You're not able to digest your food or you're passing, stool way too quickly. It's just, you're bloated, you're constipated, you're achy, you have acid reflux. All these kind of things start to show up, but you've done the process of elimination to see that it's not parasites, it's not like Crohn's or something like that. It's not anything showing up in your colonoscopy and endoscopy. And nothing's coming up on those ends. And then you come to the end road game where they're just like, we don't really know, so you have IBS. Like, this is just your bowel really irritated.
So you mentioned quite a lot of symptoms, and I kind of get why it's so hard to diagnose, right? Because these are symptoms that I can have just by eating a bad, you know, sandwich, right? Or I ate kind of dodgy seafood somewhere. So at what point do you, or you know, did you or do you recommend your clients to think about if it's really IBS or if it's, you know, gastroenteritis or something that's more acute?
Yeah, so that's why you want to go through the process of elimination. And so when you get that diagnosis, make sure you then book in a spot with a specialist, whether that is someone that is a digestive health specialist or a GI doctor or someone like that, so they can go through these tests. And they'll first do some like blood work tests, then they'll start doing like the breath tests, or they'll go in either end of your body, not fun, but they'll do that. They'll test if like, how are your bowels moving? How's your transit time? Testing your stool. There's so many different ways to get to the root of it, to see what the actual root cause is. And then if nothing comes up, they're just like, we don't know. So here's your, and that's why they say it's like a gut brain function. Like it's a mountain between the two. And which has like led me down that whole rabbit hole. Cause at first it's very common that you just go to your GP and they're like, you have IBS, and you're like, okay. And like, that's as far as you go. But then you go down the rabbit hole of going on like, well, I'll do this parasite cleanse here. I'll do Whole30 here. Maybe I'll try keto. Like, and you're testing all these things, trying to get control back of your bowels, but nothing seems to help. And so you kind of want to do the process of elimination. So you're not just, you want to test, not guess.
Hey, did you know EmbodyMe is a one-stop shop virtual wellness studio for busy people like you? You can find hosts live streaming yoga, fitness, meditation, breathwork, EFT tapping, moon ceremonies, women's circles, intuitive dance, and so much more, all in one place. Now, if you want to get to your best mental, physical, and spiritual state, sign up now for 20% off your first month with promo code NOTADIET. That's promo code NOTADIET. Sign up today at embodyme.live. And is there a particular, I guess, group of people, like demographics, who are more likely? So age, for example, or sex, is anyone more prone to it? Is it hereditary?
Women are way more. And so the whole hereditary thing, I'm just like, no, I roll it. Like, no one can see, but I just like rolled my eyes. I was like, no, because it's not something, yes, your mother can have it and then you get it and all this kind of stuff, but that could be based off of what foods were you eating growing up? Like, was it the same as her? What are your stress levels like? And passed on through that way, because that's how a autoimmunity or an illness gets passed on. Yes, we have that gene, we have that predisposition, but we also need some type of pathogen to come set it off. So some type of inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And then we also need a weak gut lining, which comes from lifestyle choices, to have it pass through that then will set off that alarm. Like, again, for me, my mother was a nurse at the time. And so she just like loaded me up on antibiotics. I was eating like Twinkies and McDonald's, like proper American diet, go us. And so obviously as my life went on, I was getting these knocks, but not paying attention. And I see that so often with the girls is usually like, they've gone through that path. They're like, I wasn't listening. And now what do I do? But it's definitely mostly women, mostly anxious women.
Okay. And I think of all the symptoms you mentioned, right? I think we got there now that basically it's a process of elimination. If there's no name to it, then we'll bundle it up into IBS. That's what it sounds like to me. Can it be known as something else? Like, would people recognize IBS with different names?
Oh my goodness. I mean, our gut is home to every single thing about us. So it could be like leaky gut, it could be gut dysbiosis, it could be things like that. And because our gut is home to, you know, 75% of our immunity, it's home to our 90% of our serotonin, it's home to 50% of our dopamine, GABA, norepinephrine, our skin, like that's our organ of detoxification. So when we stop facing these symptoms of what's happening, we can really get to the root of what is happening on our gut. So yes, it could be IBS, but like there's other symptoms that are showing up, like how you mentioned earlier, like hormonal imbalances or skin flare-ups or inflamed skin. Like my skin like went nuts and I had like this rosacea and this eczema that took over my entire body, and just all these different signs can show up that your gut is just like, please, please love me. Like just pay attention to me. And
yeah, it's crying for help.
Exactly.
And when you, I guess, lump the different symptoms together, I'm imagining this matrix table of, you know, different combinations happening. Are there, strictly speaking, different types of IBS? Like, so if you have type 1 IBS, then you tend to have constipation or things like that.
Yeah, so it's just IBS-C, IBS-D. They were super particular on this. So it's IBS constipation, IBS diarrhea, and then you have IBS-M, so IBS mixed. And so what I see a lot is a lot of women start with constipation, and then they go ham on the eliminations and Miralax and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, they go to diarrhea where they're just like cramping and they can't keep themselves out of the bathroom. And then it starts to bounce between the two, and you're like, what is going on? Like, I couldn't poop the other day and now I can't leave the bathroom and I'm stuck at the doctor's office. Like, it's wild. Honestly, it's a wild thing to deal with.
And when it comes to, you know, back to a kind of nutrition aspect of this, I think we've all heard of the FODMAP diet, right? So are there any foods or drinks that people should avoid, either, you know, to prevent IBS from happening, or when they have IBS to, you know, hopefully not make it worse?
Yeah, so I actually think low FODMAP diet is kind of trash. Like, it doesn't get to the root cause. It is just masking the symptoms, and food is not the issue. Like, I actually, again, just was in the Facebook group today talking about food sensitivities and the difference between food allergies and sensitivities. Mm-hmm. And so if you have an allergy, that's when like you eat a peanut and you need an EpiPen. Definitely don't eat that food. Like, that's a given, right? If you have an intolerance and you start stripping away these foods, your body is actually, it's going to weaken the digestive enzymes. When it's an intolerance, it just basically means your body can't break it down.
Just in case people don't know, tell us more about this FODMAP diet.
Okay, so it's like fructose, it's all the different kind of sugars that your body can't break down. You can Google it. They're big, fancy words. Saccharides, basically. And so it's body, basically your body can't break it down. It's these undigestible fibers that, because they're undigestible, it freaks out your digestive system. Yes, when you have a compromised digestive system, they are going to be hard to digest. But the more you eliminate them, it's basically like a muscle. If you're not training those digestive enzymes, they're going to disappear. And then you add one bit of that food back in. This is why you see people with like garlic and onions. And you don't want to eliminate these foods for a long period of time. You really got to pair this with some nutritional counseling. But I see women getting stuck in it all the time. And that's when they start to get malnourished, undernourished. This is when hormone balances start to set in. This is when mood swings start to set in. This is when, you know, it just breaks loose. And so what the root of that is actually your metabolic function and your digestive enzymes, because your body can't break it down. So focusing on that is when you can get back to eating normally, which is what I teach my girls inside of my programs, because you don't want to, it's like a muscle. Like I keep saying, it's just, if you're taking that food away, you don't ever restrict for no reason. And so it's not like I tell, like there's all the new studies that are coming about that Parmesan cheese is actually good for your microbiome. You know, it helps to feed your microbiome, feed the bacteria. It's actually a probiotic food. And adding stuff like that. Gluten is one of the ones. It does irritate your gut, but that's mostly because most gluten-containing foods are not good for your body. But so same goes with gluten-free foods. Like we need to learn how to read labels. But the only foods that I really, this is a long-winded answer, but the only foods that I only tell my girls never to eat, or you can't never not eat it, but just stay away from it, is the polyunsaturated fats and the overcooked seed oils. Those are highly inflammatory. This is what you see when you're, you know, going out to restaurants, and this is what you see in fast food, and this is what you see in those bars and stuff like that. Like you just really want to stay away from that. Everything else, a healthy body can digest in small doses. You just have to figure out what the root cause of it all is.
Yeah, especially that seed oil. I mean, it's one of my pet hates, I think. And in terms of things that our bodies can't naturally digest, what's your view on alcohol or, you know, soft drinks on IBS?
Yeah, so soft drinks, most girlies cannot digest that. Like, it's just, you're going to have to take a break. Same with alcohol. Like, at the end of the day, it is a poison. Like, yes, we all want to have it. Like, a good buzz and a good laugh is super great. I enjoy some wine here and there. But if you're in the process of healing your gut and you haven't eliminated alcohol and you're still drinking sodas and things like that, you really, like, you got to look at it. It's not a forever thing. Like I was sober for a year and some change to heal my gut. And that's not to say like I have a lot of face planting along the road. But now, I mean, like tonight, I'm going to tacos and some margaritas with my partner. Like that's just, you can add that back into your diet when you repair your system.
Yeah, I think I had a recording with someone about alcohol actually, and it's a very interesting concept that that's the only poison that we happily drink. Yeah, like it's so bad for us, but it's so good for us.
Yeah. Things like the Blue Zones, right? And how they're like having their wine and all that kind of stuff. Like there is healthy ways in knowing that if you are drinking, drink good high quality stuff. Like same with your meats and your animal produce, invest money into this stuff. If you do want to consume it, stop drinking like the $2 things and thinking it's going to be fine. Like you can't imagine what that's mixed with or all that kind of stuff. And there are healthy ways of doing it and supporting your body. Like in Japanese cultures, how they have the fermented plums or anything before they drink, and it helps to metabolize the alcohol. Same goes with like probiotics. You consume that, or you can take like activated charcoal. Of course, run everything by your doctor first. I'm just saying things. You can take some activated charcoal, which will help bind to that and support your liver to get it out of your system faster. That does not mean go slam 6 tequila shots right now. That means there is just ways to support your body so that you can get through it and make sure you're not going completely backwards. But like, we need to be able to live real life. Like it's not a poster and like being this fictitious thing of health. And I think that's what they have wrong about gut health, is like, you have to live this way and you can only eat this and you have to fast 16 hours and like be afraid of anything that moves at you and like only eat. It's like, what? I don't want to do that at all.
I just thought of an analogy that I think a lot of women would understand. It's kind of like saying, don't go rock climbing with your Louboutins, but wear them at an event. Like, don't just keep them in the cupboard.
Yes.
And I think being able to strike that balance with our diets is really key to kind of ongoing health. Because I see a lot of people, like including myself, when I first started my own journey, is to be so restrictive with eating. And you will get results very quickly and you'll be happy for that moment. And then you'll quickly realize you're the most antisocial person in your group because you won't go eat anywhere. Oh, wow. and then your body will start telling you other things, right? That maybe you're doing this wrong.
Oh, 100%. I used to be that girl. Like, I feel like I've said this story so many times, but it's like, my wake up moment was, it was my friend's birthday party and we were going to one of like my favorite Indian restaurants, but I was bringing a smoothie. And like, I was like, and like, cause I was on yet another gut cleanse and like, I knew I couldn't have any of the food there. Cause like, obviously if you eat Indian food, like your butt is going to hurt. Like it's, you know, it doesn't digest very well. Yeah. So I was just like, okay. And so I was like having my smoothie and like none of my clothes fit anymore because I was so underweight at the time because I was so afraid of food, convincing myself that this entire journey was healthy when my body was like, please feed me like actual food. Please just eat that naan bread. And I'm like sitting there drinking a smoothie at this gorgeous Indian restaurant. I'm like, I should probably course correct my life. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I think we all have those moments when we realize, right, that this is not going the right direction. And actually, let's talk about some do's and don'ts of self-treating for IBS, because I'm sure there is a big array of over-the-counter medication and probably some prescribed ones. So yeah, tell us some do's and don'ts.
Yeah, so a big one that I see far too often, please do not go on a parasite cleanse unless you have a freaking parasite. Like, this is going to screw up your microbiome long term. Yes, you're wiping out the bad bacteria, but you are also wiping out the good. So we are all made up of some type of candida. We are all made up of some type of parasites. It's just when the body, you know, the digestive system slows down that these things start to have a party. But that does not mean you go and do this without getting that tested. It's so, so key to test, not guess, when it comes to gut health.
Sorry, what is a parasite cleanse?
There are these like pills that basically just wipe everything out of you. It's supposed to kill off the parasite. It's supposed to reset your microbiome. It basically makes you poop your pants for like 5 days.
So that's like if you have like a tapeworm, that's what you want to take.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you want to get this prescribed, or not prescribed, because you can get it over the counter, but you want to make sure you're testing. Because like I said, we all have some type of parasite inside of us. That's cool. Like, it, we all have good and bad bacteria. It happens. It's when it gets imbalanced, that's the issue. But if you are just jumping in and going on these cleanses, you're doing way more long-term damage. You really want to test that. Other ones have to do with like Miralax. That doesn't just give you permission to eat whatever you want. Like, that's, it's, please don't do that. And then there's the medications. Like, that's generally what you're first going to get when you go to a GI doctor and when you get diagnosed with IBS. They're going to give you some, one of the many medications that they have. They might even give you an antidepressant to balance out the nervous system, but these are just temporary. Like, definitely you need to do nutritional counseling inside of it and not rely on these things. Like, this is your wake-up call that you need a behavioral change. And so those are like the don'ts, right? Like, please, just please don't do that. Like, Miralax is cool. It helps for like quick symptom relief if you haven't pooped in like days and you need to just get the toxins out, but this is not something you should rely on.
Okay, so basically none of the quick fixes for either constipation or diarrhea.
Correct.
Because that will probably get your body into overdrive, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, same with like the Imodium and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just, it's temporary and you can't expect some like long-term solution for something that's a quick fix. That's just...
Yeah, and it sounds like it might be a good idea, right? If normally, you know, you poo completely fine and then suddenly you notice some changes, maybe it's a good idea to start tracking to make sure it's not, you know, some passing bacteria that in 2 days is over. And I feel like taking these over-the-counter medications might mask the symptoms for much longer than necessary.
100%. And that's what it means, like, with supplements and doing all that kind of stuff. And when you're taking these fancy regimens and, like, not really, like, the color of your poop, the consistency, the, like, does it sink or float? Like, all of these things are signs of what your nutrition is doing. And when you bypass that just because you're a little bit uncomfortable for a day, you're missing key things. Like, same goes for your hormones and like what your period looks like and that kind of stuff. Like, it's the same thing. These are signals from your body that you really got to listen to.
I do need to add, though, if something is weird, don't go on WebMD.
Oh my goodness, please don't. Please don't.
I've heard a lot of people completely freak out because you're either pregnant or you've got cancer, basically. Oh,
yeah. Every time. Every time. That's always been my diagnosis.
And you mentioned actually at the top of the podcast that you also had issues around mental health. So what impact could IBS have on our mental health?
Yeah, so it is a gut brain function disorder, right? So like I said earlier, 90% of our serotonin housed in our gut, that's our happy hormone. 50% of our dopamine housed in our gut. Same with GABA, norepinephrine, these things that calm us down. When they're not in balance, and this isn't like we don't get them, they don't go straight to our brain, but they do get impacted by different foods and travel to our brain from like choline or different kind of stuff like that. So they do impact it, but they aren't the main culprit, if that kind of makes sense. A little bit. And so when you heal one, you can heal the other. And when you heal the other, you can heal one, but you have to heal them both together. So what I see a lot in my practice, because this gut-brain connection is in constant communication between this thing called the enteric nervous system. So and we have our central nervous system where, you know, your stuff moves, you know what's going on. Enteric nervous system functions entirely on its own. You don't have to tell your heart to beat, your lungs to breathe, your food to digest, any of that kind of stuff. It just does it all on its own. And same thing with this gut-brain connection. Actually, 80% of the communication comes from your gut to your brain. So the food you're eating has so much impact on, are you going to be thinking properly? Are you going to have brain fog? Are you going to have calm emotions and be able to handle intense situations? Are you going to have dementia or Alzheimer's? Like, these are things that can be impacted by your food. Like, a gorgeous book that I love so much is by Max Lugavere, Genius Foods. And why so often are we looking for like, what can I eat to calm my anxiety? What can I eat to have more energy? Because this stuff happens, right? And we talk about all the time, like, I have butterflies in my stomach. And maybe you've noticed, like, you're so nervous before a presentation that you just have to like go to the bathroom really quick. Like, that happens all the time with girls. Or like, a common one I see is like grocery shopping. I'm not sure why this happens to so many people. They're like, as soon as I go to the grocery store, I have to poop. Like, what's going on? I'm like, do you get anxious at the grocery store? I'm like, what is this?
I have literally never heard that. Anxiety, maybe.
I cannot. Every single time I've heard it. And so it's because of this gut-brain connection. And so what I see a lot in my practice and from my own journey is when you're struggling with constipation, that's low neurotransmitters in your gut. And when you're struggling with depression, that's low neurotransmitters in your brain. Those are the two I always see hand in hand. When you have high neurotransmitters in your brain, that's anxiety. When you have high neurotransmitters in your gut, that's like cramping and diarrhea. And again, hand in hand. And they just mix between the two. And this is why you'll see often people are like, oh, it's all in your head. We don't really know what's going on. And so like the big thing with my own journey was just, I realized, oh, like as after my naturopath said this to me, I was like, interesting, like, Penny, what are you talking about? Dove down the rabbit hole. And I realized once I started to pay attention to my mental health, because at the time I didn't even realize I was depressed because I was so used to just feeling so low. Like, I just, that was my normal. That was my baseline. And so after I started adding these foods, I was like, this is what all those happy people are talking about. Like, I had no idea I could feel this good or have this energy. And I didn't need like 16 cups of coffee and or medications or any of that kind of stuff. Like, it blew my freaking mind. And so after adding in the micronutrients as opposed to the macro is really when it was just such a game changer.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned this literally maybe 3 days ago to someone else, that it's so important, you know, with life generally, but especially with health, what's normal doesn't mean it's right.
Yes.
I've been hearing actually from some of my girlfriends that their girlfriends are just like chronically constipated. Yes. And then I'm like, why aren't you doing something about it? Have you seen a doctor? Like, why have you just accepted it? I'm sure it doesn't feel good, right? And It's one of those things that I think we really need to remember. The fact that the 10 people around you all feel like that does not mean it's healthy.
It's a thing of like, just because it's common does not mean it's normal. Like, you yeah. know, and that's something you don't know because you're so used to just feeling like crap all the time that you're just like, oh, like this is just my normal. This is my baseline. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, this is what like.
This is like when you've had a cold for a long time. And you forgot what it's like to have like a functioning nose, and suddenly it clears and you can breathe.
Yes! Yes! And you like take a deep breath and you're like, what is this?
You forget what it's like to breathe to full capacity, and then once it returns, you're like, wait, this is what I've been missing for 2 weeks. So yeah, I think you've given us loads of really good tips and advice already, but before we wrap up, I'd like you to give our listeners 3 actionable tips around IBS.
Yeah, so the first goes with the test, don't guess. So this is where you want to make sure that you're keeping a food journal. Don't just like jump in and start eliminating and all this kind of stuff before you know what actually works for you. And this is like, I've created this like gut diary thing where people, it's not just tracking like on MyFitnessPal to be like, oh, how many calories are you getting? It's like, what is the variety of food that you're getting? What is the, are you drinking enough water? What's your stress like? When are your symptoms hitting you? What are you doing about it? So then you can take this journal and bring it to your GP. You can bring it to your specialist. You can bring it to whomever you're going to address this. That you can then start to assess what's going on without just being like, doctor, I can't poop. You're like, these are my symptoms. This is what I'm feeling. This is the time that it's flaring up. Please tell me what to do. And you know what questions to ask. So you get your power back from this whole medical world we live in. And then the second one is you want to start paying it. You want something you can be consistent with. You want diversity. You want something you can stick with. You want to make sure that it's not like you're just eating like rice and veg and chicken every day. Like that's not fun and it's not healthy either. Like, just as everyone in the world loves a good buffet, so do your gut bugs. Like make sure you're doing that and make sure it's fun and something you enjoy doing. And then third one is pay attention to that gut-brain connection. Like if you're not paying attention to your stress, you are going to get nowhere. If you are stressing, you are not digesting. And that's why you see so many people struggling with digestive issues over this last year because of what we're going through, and we're having these flare-ups and we're like, oh, we're not eating right, we're not doing this, da, 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 da. And then we're seeing this spike in anxiety. It's like, okay, like let's focus on this and how can we bring it back to ourselves, breathe a little bit more, and bring in some like stress management or self-care routines.
So my last question, which I think is the best question for you, is what is the one food that takes you to your happy place every time?
But I have like 2.
Go for it. Tell us both.
Tacos and chicken wings. I love them. Even on my board right now. So on my mirror in my bedroom, my board, like in it, I have like written on it, like feel or visualize and then feel it, like manifestation stuff. And then under it, my boyfriend wrote, the tacos. And then I just noticed this morning he crossed it out and wrote chicken wings.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!